This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. I'm Adeline Chung, and this week we are joined by talented homegrown designer Moto Guo, who's made headlines internationally with his innovative and quirky designs.
The industry is so saturated with young designers, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone, you know, Generation Z, right? Now, everyone wants to own a brand, right? So actually, a lot of them are struggling.
After that, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, walks us through a fabric trend that's embracing subtle details these days, ruching.
You can always incorporate ruching in the tiniest details. Like, you can even have it on your sleeves, or if you really want to go all out with it, there are dresses and skirts where it's completely all over your body, where you can actually, like you mentioned, alter the length and the hemline of your dress or your skirt.
But first up is our style maker for this week, Moto Guo. Moto Guo is a fashion storyteller who does not shy away from eccentricity and bold playfulness into his creations. His boundless creative energy can be seen in his headline-making showcases. From his first international runway collection, Picnic in the Society, at Milan's Men's Fashion Week 2016, to his recent 2016 Spring-Summer collection, Two Kinder, at Amazon Fashion Week in Tokyo. His inspirations stem from narratives woven from intimate personal experiences. Undoubtedly, these have gained him and his eponymous label a growing audience who share the same kind of whimsical fun that the brand seeks to convey. Moto Guo returns to the show this week to talk to us about the working relationship between him and co-creative director Kinder Eng, his experience rubbing shoulders with Karl Lagerfeld and Anna Wintour, as well as the thought processes behind his signature runway shows. I know previously 2016 and 2017 has been quite an impressive year for you. And now 2018, I'm sure you have pretty much exciting plans ahead for all of us as well. Now, first off, you decided to introduce Kinder as the second creative director to your brand. Yeah. Now, what led you to make this decision?
He actually started working with me way before I started the brand. You know, I graduated in 2013 and then I stopped for a while. I worked for other designers and then I worked for my own projects. And then he actually, since then, he started helping me with all the production stuff, you know, like behind the scenes and everything. Mm-hmm. Till I started the company, the official brand with my business partner. He never leave me alone. Like, you know, he's still beside me all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I have to share all the glories with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot just keep it to myself, everything. Because basically I can say the brand would be nothing. Like, mm-hmm. it would not be able to survive without Kinder. So
would you say that he also contributed quite a number of designs
together
with you as well?
Since the beginning, he's like pouring a lot of efforts and then ideas, and then we did all the editings of the collection together, and then mm-hmm. design development, research. So yeah, I just feel like bringing him up and then let people know him because he's very talented.
I mean, as a team, you know, you've talked about how you're perceived as the left brain, while mm-hmm. Kinder is perceived as mm-hmm. the right brain.
Yeah.
Now, how does the dynamic work between the both of you?
Yeah, this is the interesting part. That's the reason I said we can't work without him, the mm-hmm. whole brand. Because in terms of the creative direction, he's very fantasy kind of person.
Mm. Creative know, ideas, creative wild ideas.
Yeah, all over the place. Like, yeah. you know, always out of the box. And then this is what we need for a brand. You know, we're not doing like mass production brand like H&M and all that. We are like, our target is hoping to contribute to the industry. So we hope to always like come up with new ideas and then new directions to the community, to the industry. So he's very up to that. Mm. And then I'm more practical. Mm. To a lot of people, I'm also a crazy one. But if compared with Kinder, I will be the role that tone him down sometimes. Like, oh, this is too crazy.
So how important would you say teamwork is, you know, especially in the fashion industry?
Very important. Like, this era right now, the industry is so saturated with young designers, right? Everyone, you know, Generation Z, right? Now, everyone wants to own a brand, right? So actually, a lot of them are struggling.
Why do you think so?
Throughout the whole process of running my own brand, I've been talking to a lot of like my same age or like some brands that launched at roughly the same period of time with me. So they are still struggling with like the, you know, manpower and then resources, production and everything. And they don't have the financial support. They don't have enough fund to let them have more manpower. So they can only deal everything by themselves or with only another partner. So mostly, you know, most of the young brands I see, they have only like two to three persons is the max in the team, same as mine.
Now, Moto, you were shortlisted as a semi-finalist for the LVMH Prize for Young Fashion Designer, making you the first ever Malaysian to ever do so. Now, and you also got to rub shoulders with Karl Lagerfeld and Anna Wintour. That's like my dream. Seriously, that's like my dream. I mean, how I wish I could meet them too. So what's it like meeting Karl and Anna?
Wow, it's almost like 2 years. So it's, yeah, I have to like recall back the feeling. But it was very overwhelming. Yeah, during the day that, you know, during the cocktail party that I met those big names. Because, you know, I have never thought that I would meet these people so early in my career.
What was the first few questions or words that you spoke to Karl and Anna?
Karl is... He stayed in my booth for a longer time compared with Anna. Anna is like rushing up because the cocktail party is very crowded. So everyone wants to just sneak into designer's booth and see things. And then so Anna, I think she was followed by like bodyguards or things like that. So she's just, you know, flip through the pieces and then just like give some compliments and then encouragements. And then Karl stayed for like 5 to 10 minutes, I think. It's considered long, for 5 to 10 minutes. So he's like really asked me to explain about the details I applied on my garments, and then he found that interesting as well. Like, why would I do that? Why do I do this? And then, oh, they say it's very unique, and then keep up the humorous, keep up the good positive energy, because during that time my whole team was there. So we were kind of like having fun. I recall that we were not intense at all. Actually, we were just overwhelmed by the whole environment and everyone. We enjoy the whole process. So actually, I think people felt that whenever they came into our booth. So I think they felt the positive energy and the humor and things like that. So they say the industry needs this kind of energy to, you know, keep going because everyone's so intense and then like takes everything so serious.
Now, I know you also had your first international runway collection. It's called A Picnic in Society in Milan 2 years ago, where you sent out your models in the infamous acne makeup. Now, it certainly created a lot of buzz. I mean, tell us, why did you come up with a bold move?
It started with a very innocent, innocent ideas. You know, generally speaking, we have been doing like very nerdy, very quirky, very preppy kind of looks. So to me, the zits, the blemishes stuff can very well present the idea of nerd. Growing up as a nerd myself, I have had all these, you know, pimples, zits on my own face. So it's like a process, you know, I just apply. I just reflect my life, my experience in the collection. So, you know, we did not plan that as a gimmick at all. Actually, I just thought that...
Wow, it wasn't a marketing thing.
Yeah, right? It wasn't at all. Until like people turn up, like, you know, they twist the words. They actually, a lot of medias out there during that time, they never asked us anything. They just use their own word to interpret our ideas. So yeah, this is something very, very depressing, but also very inspiring as well. Actually, you know, you see how the industry works, how the media works. So they just twist. They never ask you. They don't care about asking you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they want views on their pages, right?
They need content.
They need content, right, yes. And then they just, you know, they just come up with their own words.
Let's talk about another collaboration. You collaborated with Labelhood after establishing yourself in the Chinese market. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about this collaboration.
Labelhood has been very supportive, you know, with young designers. I would say, actually, in bigger picture, the China fashion market right now is very supportive because they know they are somehow still immature as a very amateur stage.
In China?
In China, in fashion industry, actually, to be honest. But that's the motivation for them to get more talents and, you know, to get more young people to come in to China. And then they also like build up their own platform for their own talents. So it's like, you know, it's a huge market. It's a global thing. So, you know, China is like another world. They have been developing the whole fashion industry in just recent 10 to 20 years. But they have been growing so fast. And then each season is like so different.
Why do you think that they're growing so fast?
Competitive, ambitiousness, you know. I think that's the way.
Are we talking about the Chinese designers?
Chinese designers, Chinese platforms like Labelhood. You know, Labelhood has been doing for like only four seasons. You know, they are now at par with the original official venue for Shanghai Fashion Week.
Wow.
Yeah. So they are like one of the biggest one in China, in Shanghai. Yeah. So, because, you know, China, the population is so huge.
Yeah, it is.
So we need this kind of exposure, especially from this kind of big platform. It's actually a collaboration between Labelhood and Mini Cooper. Yeah. It's just something very new in my career.
Right.
Yeah. I've never done any commercial collaboration.
And this is the first.
This is the first time. Yeah.
So have you ever thought of, I mean, as you mentioned, China market is so big, right? And fashion industry there is like super trendy and all. I mean, have you ever thought of tapping into the Chinese market by opening a brick and mortar store or having an online store in China perhaps?
We are planning something like e-commerce right now for China market because we see demands in the markets for our work. So I think we don't want to wait till it's too late. So everything is in the process of developing right now, building an e-commerce or an e-store. You know, everything is so convenient and so high-tech, I would say. You know, they can pay things through Alipay. They can pay things through WeChat. So even WeChat, you can build an e-store on WeChat. So everything is so convenient. So I just thought, why not, you know?
Now, let's talk more about your designs and inspirations. You recently launched your Spring-Summer 2018 collection. It's called To Kinder at the Amazon Fashion Week in Tokyo. Tell us a little bit about this collection and the inspiration behind it.
First of all, we actually launched this collection in different times and different places. We actually launched a very small capsule collection back in June first. It's considered as more towards menswear. Yeah, and then we launched a full collection in end of September during Paris Fashion Week, but just did like a showroom showcase, that kind of thing, exhibition. And then after that, we had shows in Labelhood platform and Tokyo. And then To Kinder is our Spring Summer 18. And To Kinder, why To Kinder? It's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
It's like a dedication to Kinder.
It's a tribute to Kinder.
Because having partnered together for so long, definitely a lot of arguments and quarrels between, and then a relationship shaking, and then things like that. And then, you know, fight for things, fight for ideas and things like that. And then throughout the whole process, I just feel like we have been growing up together. So at some point, I really cherish this relationship between Kinder and I. So I just felt like it's the right time to do something for him and then do something that he likes. So yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah, so something that has more impact for him or from him.
And your designs have a very comical and playful aesthetic, you know, yet it is packed and with energy and emotion. And it seems like it is a recurrent theme in your collections. Now, would you say that it is the essence of your brand?
Yes. Actually, people have been saying our style is... We also have been saying our style is quirky, playful.
It is, it is.
Yeah.
Which makes it unique and which makes it stand out, you know, for your brand. It's like your identity, right?
Yeah. But we are trying to insert more different elements and point of views right
like
now.
What?
Actually, like more adult kind of elements.
Mm-hmm.
Like for this collection to Kinder, we have some button stitching ideas. We make it look like nipples. Yeah, that kind of very adult, lean towards the adult side, you know, this kind of elements and ideas. And then we make something like very uniform fetish. We
but in a subtle way. Like.
Yeah, in a subtle way. It's actually also quite loud. Yeah, we kind of like connect a shirt with leotard.
Uh-huh.
So it's it looks like a shirt, bikini shirt, onesies kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, you know, it looks like a big baby. It still looks very babyish, but in a way, it's actually very adult, you know, adult, yeah.
Now, I know that I'm sure you and Kinder have a lot of crazy and creative ideas, but how do you find a balance, you know, between conceptualizing your ideas and designing more practical pieces and in terms of saleability?
Frankly speaking, this is still a homework, like a homework for Kinder and I. Because it's easier to like let all the ideas just
flow.
But it's hard to, you know, get them back. And then to be focused in one collection, you can never play too many ideas in one collection. It will do you no good because in the end of the day, it will be here and there. So it's very tough to make the whole collection focus.
And when you mentioned before that Walter van Barendonk as one of your muses,
yeah.
What is it about him that inspires you?
Actually, it's just the runway. You know, every time people see the runways, they take everything like as it is. But actually, you know, if you separate all the items, it could be very commercial. Yeah, they just style it together for a runway because, you know,
you need a BAM show, right?
Yeah, you need a BAM show to catch the attention.
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of a runway show. So I think to me, Walter is someone very rare in the industry that can keep the balance of having fun, having really fun and very original fun, and then still have the power, have the capability of selling.
And then what direction do you think, you know, you'll be taking your brand next?
To be more sustainable. Wow, which is very tough. Yeah, so very tough work. A lot of thinking has to, you know, a lot of effort to put in to just find the balancing between. Yeah, because in the end of the day, we still have to sell. Although now we have a stable customer base right now that would buy our crazy stuff, but it's actually not enough to cover the expenses if we want to expand the business.
To find out more about Motoguo's brilliantly inventive designs, do check out his website www.motoguo.com or his Facebook or Instagram at Motoguo. And that's Motoguo. Stay tuned because after this, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, shares some flexible ideas of incorporating ruching into your individual looks. But before that, here's a tribute to the late Dolores O'Riordan, frontwoman of the Cranberries, with Just My Imagination. This is Style File, and I'm Madeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Madeline Chung on Style File. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And our Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, guides us through how to play around with the ruched fabric to fit with your personal style. Now this week, it's all about sweeter version. Next season is all about romantic detail, a low-key way to sparkle and, well, you know, industrial-grade rubber. Now, it's official that we're trading in stuffy lace-up for delicate ruching. The romantic touch was seen on feminine body size at Ulla Johnson and Brock Collection. Now, tell us more about ruching.
So ruching, I mean, it's pretty similar trend to the lace-up trend, but it's a little more subtle and a little more fashion-forward, obviously. So, you know, it's like a really strategic bunching up of fabric that's used to amplify or to reduce the volume in an outfit. So, I mean, ruching has been around since, like, even the 80s when Norma Kamali, she dedicated an entire collection to ruching with her OMO label in the 80s. And even Junior Watanabe around the 90s, like, ruching was huge with him. And you probably even remember it from the 2000s, like the early 2000s, when, you know, bodycon dresses. There were lots of ruching and bodycon dresses worn by Paris Hilton, worn by Britney Spears. It's really prominent, also, in the spring shows where you have, like, Diane von Furstenberg. She had these really beautiful summer floral dresses, like long sleeves with ruching on the sides of the body and the sleeves. And I think these days, ruching, it's more about the tiny little details. So they turn up more on the details on the sleeves or the sides of the garments to emphasize your waist, you know, to emphasize your cleavage. So it's more subtle.
That's for people who are going for a delicate and romantic touch, right? I know that ruching can be incorporated with DIY styles. You know, there's parachute style ruching, sporty bungee cord extended pulls that you yourself, you know, can tuck on to alter the look of your piece. Now the thing is, for ruching, do you think it will fit everybody? I don't know if ruching would fit me though.
Well, I think it can be a little tricky. It depends on, obviously, your body shape as well.
Yeah.
And how tall you are.
I have long body.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can play around. Choose the type of ruching, you know, where you want to accent. So, you can always incorporate ruching in the tiniest details. Like, you can even have it on your sleeves. Or if you really want to go all out with it, there are dresses and skirts where it's completely all over your body, where you can actually, like you mentioned, alter the length and the hemline of your dress or your skirt.
What about the runways for spring?
For spring, so Fendi had some really interesting ruching details. So there are ones like along the arms of a chiffon peekaboo shoulder, you know, striped dress. And then there were also ones on like a plain white shirt, but it had red ruching all over the shoulders. And Calvin Klein had really cool
waterproof
ruching. Waterproof, and waterproof nylon anorak jackets. And Versace, they had these really beautiful tie flashing purple emerald ruched nylon dresses, which were super sporty and yet super sexy.
So what do you think? Ultraviolet ruching?
Ultraviolet ruching, why not?
So how would you pair it? Let's talk about the day first.
Okay, for day, you can always go for something simple like a white shirt with tiny ruched details, like, you know, along the side of your body or on your arms, you know, pair it with like just normal skirts, pants. Don't be afraid to, you know, add more to the ensemble because, I mean, your ruche piece can be statement, but you, if you choose something subtle, you can always play up, you know, with a bold, bold handbag, colours and, you know, something more.
And what about for the night?
For night, I would say go for dresses, like silky satin dresses with like ruching details. That's very beautiful.
So would you invest in ruching though?
I'd probably invest in it in the dress form. So like, you know, the ones that you can change, that has the ability to change its silhouette, change the hemline with the pull of a string, so you get more bang for your buck.
So that was Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, with the latest on the style of ruching, which brings us to the end of this week's show. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Before I end the show, here is my tribute to Dolores O'Riordan from The Cranberries, who passed away this week. I'm going to play you another one of my favourite songs of hers. It's called When You're Gone. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.